Welcome to In Clear Terms with AARP California. Conversations on issues impacting Californians of all ages. Here's your host, Theon Gordon.
Welcome to In Clear Terms with AARP California. Get ready to explore the real deal around issues and policies that impact Californians of all ages, particularly older adults, and see how you can connect with AARP and make our state more livable for all. I am an AARP volunteer and your host, Dr. Theon Gordon. November is National Family Caregivers Month, and today we're shining a spotlight on the millions of Californians who provide unpaid care to loved ones, whether it's an aging parent, a spouse, or a friend. AARP California recently released new state-level data that reveals just how widespread caregiving is and the emotional, financial, and physical toll it can take. We'll explore these insights, discuss the resources available to caregivers, and look at recent policy wins and ongoing advocacy efforts. Joining us today are two incredible guests who we're excited to welcome back on the show. First, we have Dr. Donna Benton, Research Associate Professor of Gerontology, Assistant Dean, and Director of the USC Family Caregiver Support Center. Dr. Benton has spent decades championing caregiver support and will share her insights on the evolving caregiving landscape and the critical services available to families. Also joining us is Dr. Nina Weiler Harwell, Associate State Director at AARP California. She will walk us through the latest caregiving data and share how AARP is supporting caregivers across the state. Whether you're a caregiver yourself, know someone who is, or simply want to understand this vital issue better, this episode is for you. Let's get started. Donna and Nina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here again with Nina and with you, Dr. Gordon, and to be a part of today's show. So most recently, I've been looking into how to help family caregivers with financial and workplace security issues. As we're going to discuss more, the majority of family caregivers work, but it's becoming really more difficult to balance work and caregiving as resources and supports are more difficult to access. And so what I'm really excited about right now is the development of a central hub for employers and social service agencies and caregivers so they can really find out what are some of the outstanding programs in California and across the whole country to assist caregivers manage workplace and financial challenges. And so this is going to be like a clearinghouse, and it'll be online around March of 2026. And, you know, it's not a total solution, but hopefully it'll be a path for many caregivers who are feeling a little lost.
Sounds really, really interesting. Can't wait to dive into that a little more. Nina, can you share a little more about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, thank you for having me here today, Dr. Gordon, Dr. Benton. Always a pleasure to be on with you, to really hear from you about your incredible expertise on all things caregiving. So as you already know, my name is Nina Weiler Harwell. I am AARP California's statewide issue lead on caregiving, long-term care, and health. I spend a lot of time on the issue of caregiving, which is how I'm the lead. And I'm really happy to be here to talk about this new caregiving data from Caregiving in the U.S. that was just released and how it relates to California's family caregivers.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, Nina, let's just go back to you really quickly and see if you can share with us some of the recently released new caregiving data. What are the key takeaways from the report?
So this data actually really brings to light and highlights once again the sheer number of family caregivers here in California and really the struggles and challenges they face. This is even as they undertake this labor of love to keep their loved ones in their homes and communities where we know they want to be. So there's a lot to digest in the report, so I'm going to hit some highlights. First of all, nearly one quarter of all Californians are family caregivers. It's 23%. That is an absolutely astonishing number.
Wow.
There are actually 7 million in Californians caring, acting as family caregivers for Californians of all ages, and this includes children. Also, another astonishing number. Californians face physical, financial, and work-related strains, and this includes the fact that 6 in 10 of California's family caregivers are actually struggling full or part-time jobs. Over half of family caregivers, that's 54%, are what we call high-intensity caregivers. So they provide more hours of care weekly and helping with activities of daily living, such as bathing and dressing. Nearly 4 in 10, that's 37%, find it difficult to locate local affordable services such as home-delivered meals, transportation, and in-home health services. Finally, nearly half of our family caregivers here in California, that's 4%, have experienced at least one negative financial impact because of their care responsibilities, such as, but not limited to, being able to save.
This is just a lot of information to take in. I know there's such a changing landscape in caregiving, and hearing how many caregivers, from the data, from what I understand, shows that 23% of Californian adults are caregivers now. Donna, from your perspective at USC's Family Caregiver Support Center, how have you seen the caregiving landscape evolve over the years? Is this greater than, or where are we?
This is really a great question, because the most significant, and I would say continued, change that I've noticed is that with the growth of people who are now beginning to identify themselves as family caregivers. And I think that's why we're starting to see this increase in the number of people when we do surveys who are family caregivers. The other thing I've also noticed over the years is that more organizations and workplaces and even elected officials are becoming more attuned to the needs of caregivers. And everybody's begun to say, how can we support family caregivers? And before, no one even asked that question. It would just be, how can we support the older adult? And maybe they would say, oh, let's have the caregiver support the older adult. But now we're getting that question of, what can we do to support the caregiver in their role for what they need, apart and separate from the person they're caring for? And so I would say that both of those have become really significant changes. The data that Nina already talked about really points to why we just started the Center for Advancing Workplace and Financial Security, because so many people are working and are having stress, financial stress, that impacts them not just now, but in their future, because they're not able to save, or they may stop working and not be able to have Social Security or to lower their Social Security in the future. And in particular, this impacts very diverse groups and women.
You know, Donna, thank you so much for that. I believe you really hit something with people identifying themselves as caregivers, making that increase in the number. I know, and I've said it on this show, I support a friend, and I never want to identify myself as a caregiver, partly because I feel like I'm really just helping a friend, so I don't look at it in that way. But it absolutely can be challenging, and bringing that into how we've evolved as a country, as a state even, in recognizing the people that are caregivers. Now, you mentioned some of the financial challenges that have come up. What are some of the other pressing challenges that you've seen that caregivers face today, especially in underserved communities? Donna?
The challenges that you're seeing is there's this multitude where they're really intertwined with what are some of the challenges that are in underserved communities. So we see communities that have fewer support resources. They don't have transportation. The medical facilities may be very far away. They may not have as many specialists in their neighborhood. There's limited or affordable legal services. And all of these already standing disadvantages only make it harder to provide good quality care and make it harder on the caregiver. So what you're seeing is these overtaxed communities, because of all of this transportation and not being able to get to the right facilities or have access to legal services, you'll find that they may have higher out-of-pocket costs while they're helping someone. And Dr. Gordon, when you say you're reluctant to call yourself a caregiver, I think part of that comes because sometimes when we hear that word caregiver, we think that it takes out the word love. It takes out the fact that this is my friend or this is my mom or this is my grandparent. And caregiver feels like a little bit of a distance from that more loving word of parent or mom, but you can be both. And it's important to recognize yourself as having not lost the other role of a good friend, because that's why you're doing this. But being the caregiver helps you access the resources that are formally identified for caregivers.
Yeah, that's a really important part. And caregivers, they do it with love. So I know that's what I do it.
Yeah.
And so that's really important. Now, you mentioned some of the resources that are lacking. Nina, what caregiving resources does AARP offer?
Yeah, and I'm really enjoying this conversation as well, because I also want to emphasize that what this all points to and what is becoming increasingly recognized is that caregivers are the backbone of our long-term care system. They are who the state and our country rely on to keep people out of very costly institutional care. And the extent of that activity is so enormous. It's actually in California, $81 billion a year. So that's more than a third of the state budget. It's massive. But we also know that a lot of caregivers don't even know where to start and where to go to. So with that, AARP actually offers a variety of free content, free resources for family caregivers. That can be our Prepare to Care Guide, which will allow caregivers to build a caregiving plan, hopefully before they take on the role or after. And that guide is available in Spanish, English, and Chinese, and also for several audiences, including there is a guide for our Latino community, for LGBTQ+, as well as our military veteran families and our military families. So the other caregiving resources you will find are actually on our caregiving resource site, which is aarp.org/caregiving. And that particular page has so many resources. At this point, they are innumerable. They're everything from how to manage caregiving when you're caring for somebody with Alzheimer's or related dementias. There are worksheets on the cost of long-term care. There are specialized blogs on every possible form of caregiving that a caregiver may have to undertake. And on there, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, you will also find our fact sheets on paid family leave and paid sick leave in California. So like I said, so much to offer, and you can start at aarp.org/caregiving.
That sounds great. And I know AARP always offers so many tremendous resources that we're so appreciative of. One of the other things that AARP does is goes and champions for caregivers and for those 50 plus and the state of California through legislation. And Senate Bill 590 was a big win this year. Can you explain a little bit more about what it does and why it matters for caregivers?
So this bill, actually SB 590 by Senator Terrazzo, is an absolute monumental victory for family caregivers. This was actually our third attempt, I believe, to pass this kind of expansion of paid family leave. So it just shows the value of persistence, especially when it comes to legislation. But what SB 590 will do is update California's paid family leave program by allowing chosen family, such as aunts, uncles, neighbors, and friends, to use paid family leave, a benefit that working Californians pay into with every paycheck. They'll be able to use this program to care for a seriously ill loved one. And the reason why AARP actually co-sponsored this legislation was because of the changing dynamics of the American family, especially since California first passed paid family leave in 2002. So there are now many more households without than with children, and increasingly many individuals choosing to not have children, meaning they have to rely on a larger extended network of friends and families and extended family to provide care when they need to be supported with activities of daily living and or they're recovering from surgery or some kind of medical incident. So again, by passing SB 590, California updates its paid family leave law to reflect current family structures. And California is now the seventh state to have passed such legislation.
Yay.
Wow. Big one. Big win.
Yay.
Right? Yay. It was a big win.
It was big, yeah.
It's going to take a little time.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
For it to go into effect. It goes into effect in 2028.
Those are the things that drive us a little crazy because that does take some time.
It makes us a little crazy, but I did want to point that out so people aren't going and say, hey, I want my paid family leave for my neighbor or who are they helping right now. But it is so critical. I mean, Nina said everything about why we've been pushing for that because families are changing. People don't necessarily live close to each other anymore. A family can be further away. And so the fact that you can take a benefit that you pay for, which is your paid family leave, because it does come out of your paycheck, this is your money being put back to use for you. And we pay for it. So it's like your tax dollars at work. You actually can see like, oh, I paid into this. I can take something. I can get my money back.
That is so important. Thank you for pointing that out. And then the other thing that's important about this bill and so many others are we get to see how the legislative efforts pay off. Are there other legislative efforts that caregivers should be aware of? And if so, how can we get involved in supporting such policy or changes?
Yeah, so I do want to add on about 592, just to show you how legislators and their staff are starting to recognize the importance of family caregiving. This had bipartisan support.
Wow.
Nearly every member of the legislature supported this bill. There were a couple of exceptions. This is a big difference from even 3 years ago when we first tried. We are now at the point where everyone's recognizing they're seeing it in their lives. They're seeing it in their constituents' stories. So it's critical. But if I could now jump to some of the legislative efforts that we're also focusing on, we know from AARP's previous data that family caregivers who pay for the cost of caring for their loved ones spend over $7,200 a year for that care. That's over $600 a month. I can't even imagine having to add that onto mortgage, utilities, auto insurance, and so forth. So what AARP has been working on now for 8 years is a solution to help individuals who are part of the forgotten middle and do not qualify for Medi-Cal or don't have the financial means to cover the high cost of long-term care. And we've been working with this on partners as well as the state to find a solution that will really allow people to at least cover some of those very high costs, whether it's they themselves needing the care, or it could also help a family caregiver in terms of maybe them being paid to provide this care. So this is still in the works, and we'll have more on that to come. But we really want to remind folks, because we have talked about this on the podcast before, that that solution is still coming. And we hope to have more on this later in 2026.
Wonderful. Well, we look forward to hearing more about it and how we can champion such policy changes. Now let's shift a little bit. Donna, you've served on the California Master Plan for Aging Stakeholder Advisory Commission. Can you share with us what the California Master Plan for Aging is and what caregiver-focused initiatives are coming through from that type of work?
Oh, sure. Okay, so just think of the California Master Plan for Aging. It was a vision for 10 years of how you're going to create a more inclusive, supportive, and equitable California for people as we all age, both people with disabilities, family caregivers, and older adults. And what it did is said there were five bold goals that we needed to achieve by 2030 when we will have the largest population of older adults. And I think the titles almost describe exactly what it's about. Housing for all ages and stages. So that means that everyone should be housed, and from people who don't need a lot of support all the way till you need more support or a maximum amount of support. You want to reimagine health so that health care is more easily accessed. Health care is part of our fabric of what we do. You want to be inclusive and not cause people to be more isolated as we age. I'll get to the caregiving and I'll go a little more detail into caregiving that actually works. And then affordable aging. We know that as we get older, it feels like when you are on a fixed income, everything is unaffordable. How can we make aging affordable from birth all the way till we turn 120? So when we look at caregiving, there's some really interesting things that have been out there, but a lot of emphasis recently has been on helping to educate both paid caregivers and the informal family caregivers. So they've launched education programs statewide, like Cal Cares, where you can get caregiver education and also look for support programs for caregivers. And so what you have are better trained direct care workers and family caregivers so that they understand, oh, what's dementia? How do I talk to my relative when they're having memory problems or they can't express themselves or they're becoming angry? How do I properly lift someone without worrying about dropping them? What's the right way to bathe someone or brush someone's teeth? So all of that are really important education programs. And that's just one example of what's going on. So say if you have somebody who's really trying to care for someone with Alzheimer's, you can get this training, you can learn these techniques. And what does that do? Well, that kind of reduces your stress. And it also improves the quality of life for the person you're caring for. So you're feeling less anxious that, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the best for my mom, for my grandmother? And you've learned the right techniques. And so you're giving excellent care. And most of this is done in the home because 80% of care or more is done in the home by family members. People think, oh, as we get older, we're going to end up in nursing homes. And that's just a very small fraction of the time. Most of our care will be done at home.
Thank you for giving us some insight on that. This is such a major issue, especially when we talk about housing for all, because we know we still have unsheltered issues here in the California area for people who are not aging. And so it's such a big feat, such a big, as it says, master plan, that I'm so happy we're working towards something like that. So thank you for sharing the information on it.
And it gives great templates for communities, because you take the California master plan and then they have community plans so that you can make it more localized.
And that's so important, to localize and bring things into community. And I love how you said so that we could live into 120, because that's, I'm like, yes, longevity. How do we get to longevity? Which is another whole podcast episode. We won't get into that. But having community is part of how we get there. And taking it from a big master plan into a localized way of caring for a community, I think is such a masterful plan, as it says, the master plan. So I have a question for you, for either of you, in terms of being a caregiver. I know I have lots of personal stories that might help with policy or anything. How can caregivers use their personal stories to advocate for better policies and support systems?
Yeah, we kind of tell caregivers that if you can get your story down to like 5 minutes, and I know, first of all, that's hard, but what you do is you say, this is who I'm caring for and why. These are some of the things that I would like that I'm not getting, where I'm seeing gaps, and this is how you might help. You may not have an answer for that, this is how a policy will help, but if you tell your story, many times that policy maker can relate to what you're saying. We just went through a advocacy day, and what was beautiful about the caregivers is they were saying, this is how it started overnight. And as I've gone through this, these were my stumbling blocks. I noticed that I had a hard time navigating the healthcare system. And I don't have a lot of resources like a millionaire or a billionaire. So is there somebody who could be my buddy, like a buddy system of a navigator? And I don't know if that's a policy or if there's something that you can do to make these systems have more navigators to help me. And that's all you're presenting to the legislator. And because they can look at it and say, oh, maybe our Department of Health can have more navigators. Maybe hospitals should begin to identify caregivers and know that they're going to need a little extra help, or a little more time for navigation. So your story helps represent If you tell one story, you're representing thousands of other people that have met your struggle. And so I always say, just tell it the way that you've lived it.
Donna, that's so important also, because the stories also advise and inform other people. I know I shared a story about transportation challenges for the person that I work with, and just trying to figure out how can I get her to these different places when I can't be everywhere. Like you said, caregivers are still workers. We're still doing our own lifestyles and trying to get to our own 120 aging goal. And so just sharing the challenges I was having with transportation, someone provided a resource for me.
There you go.
And said, oh, do you know that she's actually eligible for ABC? Now, even in that context, getting her that resource, I found that resource had challenges with it. And I was able to go back to that resource and say, you know, this is a great resource. However, these are some of the challenges that someone with memory issues have with actually even accessing your resource. Is there anything we can do differently with that? And we've been able to work some things out in terms of that as well. So the sharing of stories, I think, is so powerful because you never know who needs to hear what you've been through and how it can help them. So I really, really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Nina, do you have anything to add to that?
I do. And thanks for teeing this up. So I just want to add to what Donna said about the value of caregiving stories. It's all fine for me to go around to the Capitol and say, here's the number of caregivers and here's the data and this is why it's so important. But having stories from people, especially people that live in a legislator's district, personal stories told in an individual's own words is critical. I have been in hearings where we have someone up at the mic, just a regular person, a regular citizen talking about their caregiving story. And I've seen staff and legislators cry over these stories. That's how impactful they are. And for AARP, you can actually access a resource we have called iHeart Caregivers. Just Google AARP, iHeart Caregivers. And there'll be a way for you to input your story. If it's a story that you want to be shared, if it's just online, you'll just use your first name. But if you want to, for example, talk to legislators, formally share your story with legislators, we will go a little further and reach out to you with more questions. But the place to start is iHeart Caregivers.
Wonderful, wonderful. Once again, AARP with the fantastic resources. Let's go to AARP and iHeart Caregivers. You can research that. Just get in there and find it. As usual, our time is limited, but we get so into these conversations and they're so rich that I want to keep going. So I'm going to just ask each of you to share if you have any final comments for our listeners before we wrap up with today's interview.
Yeah. And I know Donna will likely repeat this. You are not alone. There are supports. There are communities. There are services that can help you. One of the first things we will always tell people is to start with a plan and build the support team. So again, you are not doing it all yourself. You cannot do it all yourself. And you can find those free resources such as Prepare to Care online. Just search AARP Prepare to Care. I've already talked about this a little bit, but again, it's available in Spanish, English, and Chinese, as well as specialized versions for veteran caregivers and for the LGBTQ+. But really, start to open up to folks and share that story, and you'll be amazed at what comes out. So I'll just say for my family personally, just sharing, this was 20 plus years ago, and our son appeared to be on the autism spectrum. We had no idea what to do. None. I happened to mention it to somebody I knew, and they said, Nina, you need to be talking to Alta Regional Center, part of the Department of Developmental Services. And the services we got and still get were game-changing. So that's the viewpoint of a mother of somebody with autism spectrum disorder. But those same stories, if you're caring for somebody who is elderly or disabled, just start talking to folks and you'll be amazed at what people know and what they can share, even people they can refer you to.
Thank you for that, Nina. It's so good to know we're not in it alone. Very important. Donna? Any final comments?
Sure. You know, there's a song that says, be careful for what you say. Children will listen. Every day, what we do makes a difference, not only for the people you're helping, but for future generations. And, you know, children learn from what they see. And when they see you in a role as a caregiver, they're learning care and kindness. Policymakers, their hearts, as Nina's already mentioned, their hearts are changed by the real life stories and struggles that they hear. And our whole society wouldn't be able to be sustained, our healthcare system at all, if we didn't have this very underappreciated labor from every caring family. So I think that it's good for us, you family caregivers, to remember that we're really the foundation. And I say we because I was a caregiver, which we build quality home care, and our well-being matters just as much as those we care for. And so we also have to take time, I know, take time for ourselves, but also take a few minutes to advocate for what will make your caregiving journey less challenging so you can really continue to cherish what we really like are all the rewards associated with us being caregivers.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for that, Donna. Very, very wonderful conversation. I'm always happy to have you both. And that's it for today's episode of In Clear Terms with AARP California. Once again, a big thank you to Dr. Nina Weiler-Harwell and Dr. Donna Benton for sharing their insights and expertise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To learn more about caregiving resources and support, visit aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. In future episodes, we look forward to hosting experts who shed light on critical issues in our state, how AARP California is working to ensure the voice of those 50 plus is heard, and how you, our listeners, can learn more and act on these important decisions. Thank you for listening.